Blog Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy and it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. For frightening me and now we flee for fallen leaves. The ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejection of reproof. Then acknowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling us Ham. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave us the Rothschild. Now we exalt the vow, but hit the turnstile. God's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. God give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Your door, y'all magnify, y'all cut it straight.
Foremost, giving all praise and honor to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the creator has shined his mercy upon us and blessed us that we might bring to you another program on another day, on nothing but the truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street. I praise the mighty Yah for allowing us to bring you another program of Nothing But the Truth. And it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. But who is this Yah that have allowed any of us to declare his words out of our mouth that we might tell you his truth? Well, this Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael. Or you may know him as the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our lawgiver, and he's our savior, and not just of Israel, but also the world. And today he has allowed us and blessed us to bring you another program that we have prepared for you. We will be discussing this week Yah's seven witnesses. And what you're going to learn and what you're going to see is the truth about Yah's calendar. One of the things that our people have inherited from our enemies is a lot of lies concerning how the Almighty calendar is constructed. And there's some very basic fundamentals that you will learn that one must have and must know in order for him to keep the various holy days and the various laws of the Most High. And we will provide you seven witnesses that you will see that everything that we're telling you is the truth. And on the other side, you will have no witnesses. No witnesses to the various beliefs, to the various doctrines, to the various ideologies that many of our people believe, have inherited, and teach. So we're going to start that process today. However, I did just want to review just for 1 minute on yesterday's program because I brought to you Yah's seven judgments of 40, detailing and showing you how the Almighty will use 40 as his test, as his judgment. And we showed you in the law, in the book of Deuteronomy 25 and 3. And if we turn there for a second, Deuteronomy 25 and 3. But we're going to read verse 1 through 3. So you can get a good understanding of what this 40 represents. And why this is a judgment and a test of the Most High. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy 25 and 1.
If there be a controversy between men, and they come into judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked.
And this is about judgment. This is about controversy. And anytime the Almighty used this 40, it was about judgment. He was judging nations, including the children of Israel. And not just nations, he judged the whole world using this test of 40, this judgment of 40. And watch what it says.
and condemn the wicked, and it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number.
And what that certain number is, the Almighty is going to let you know to give you an idea of how the Most High judge and how the Most High see things. And this is what we have to learn. We have to learn that judgment is Yah's, it's not ours. All the various things we bring into you, all the various things we're teaching you, it's the word of Yah. These are not our words. These are not our statutes. These are not our judgments. These are not our commandments, nor are they our laws or testimonies. These all belong to the Most High. And if they belong to the Most High, we should be able to verify the very things that he's saying. And look what it says.
40 stripes he may give him and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee.
He shall seem vile because 40 was the max, because 40 represents Yah's increase, because Yah's increase is 5, the fifth. And 40 is just the order of 5. It's just like saying 5. And so once a person receives Yah's increase, then Yah see that as enough. And I told everyone that we have approximately, and this was yesterday, 40 days until the end of the Day of Atonement. And since the Almighty said we should gather ourselves together, the scriptures say, gather thyself together unto me, or gather my saints unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the very sacrifice the Almighty is looking for everybody to make unto him are the sacrifices of righteousness. And I let everyone know, the Almighty said, we to gather ourselves before the decree bring forth. And nobody know what that decree is. No one know when it's coming. And so you're in the state of darkness. But I'm here to tell you that since the Day of Atonement is approaching, and we know we're in the last days, and we know we are a very sinful people, a very abominable people, trying to find our way back to the Most High, the Almighty is still giving us an opportunity for us to take the opportunity to clean ourselves up, to make the crooked things straight, to make darkness light. We can do that. We have time to do it. The Almighty is affording us this opportunity. And I think if we circumcise our hearts and our minds, we can do just that. For the Creator has already decreed. He already let us know. And it has already went out that we are to seek him with all our heart and with all our soul. And if we seek him with all our heart, soul, and mind, he said we will find him. And so we have sought the Most High, and we're continuing to seek the Most High. But we have to make our sacrifices now rather than later. So I pray that you would do as Noah and Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights for sin. because the people had sinned a great sin. Noah survived the ark, where all the flood waters were so high, it went above the mountains. And the only thing you can see is water. But he survived. The children of Israel spied out the land. And even though 10 came back with a bad report, 2 came back with a good report. And they believed in Yah. And they walked right into the land. Even though Jonah started out not believing, he still prophesied to Nineveh. And the first thing the king did when he heard the words of Nineveh being destroyed, the first thing came out of his mouth, or the first thing he did, was tore his clothes and put on sackcloth, sat in ashes, and it said he believed in Yah. In other words, he believed what Yah said he would do, he was going to do. But do we believe? The decree really has already went out that the Almighty has determined evil upon the earth as well as our people. But what are you doing about it? Elijah went on a 40-day, 40-night journey all the way to Mount Horeb with little food, just to bring down the 250 prophets of the deity of Baal. The armies of Israel, which supposed to be the armies of Yah, allow one big, giant, uncircumcised man defy our people, our armies, and the Most High. And there was a little shepherd boy, and he did it for 40 days, came before them. But a little shepherd boy named David, King David, slew him, took his head off, and had his carcass fed to the wild beasts and the birds. And now we have time. We have time to get ourselves together, get ourselves cleaned up. But that time is running out. And this is what the Creator let us know in the book of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. Well, make that Proverbs the 1st chapter. In the book of Proverbs, the 1st chapter, start reading. At the 22nd verse.
How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?
Yeah, how long? Because time is running out. Go ahead.
Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you.
And that's what he's doing today and every day, making his words known. But are you listening? Go ahead.
Because I have called, and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said at naught at all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and when your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Yah. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof.
And so the Almighty warned us to take this very seriously. He warned us to love knowledge. And he warned us to understand that he has not forsaken us. He's given us the knowledge that we need, that we can serve him, that we can come nigh unto him, and that we can be the glory that he even made us to be. But we have to sacrifice ourselves to be right, to be good, to be upright. This is what we have to do. Because there's going to come a time where you will seek him and he will not answer. Or you're going to call upon him and he won't answer. And you're going to seek him early, but you shall not find him. And we want you to find the Most High. This is what we want you to do. So we're calling out to you. We're calling out to all of Israel. And we're calling out to everyone that has a desire in his heart to love Yah and to serve Yah and to be one with Yah. Hallelujah. So make your sacrifices, and you have a little time, but that time is quickly fading. Again, we're going to discuss Yah's seven witnesses. And the first of the seven witnesses we're going to talk about is one of our ancient ancestors, Noah. And you're going to see why he is the first witness. I may add, what is a witness? A witness, according to the scriptures, is one that will stand up and witness and declare and show that what is being done, what is being said, and what is happening is the truth. That's what a witness is. And there are certain things the Almighty let us know only his people can be witnesses of. Nobody else can do such a thing. The first thing, the first two things I want to show you that only Yah's servant can do and be a witness of, you'll find this in the book of Psalms 147. In the book of Psalms 147, this is what it says in verse 19 and 20.
He sheweth his word unto Yaakov.
Yeah, he showed his word unto Yaakov.
His statutes and his judgments unto Israel.
He showed his statutes and his judgment unto Israel.
He hath not dealt so with any nation.
He haven't dealt with any nation.
And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye Yahweh.
So it's totally impossible for them to witness something they don't even know. They hadn't even been shown. The only people that can witness the various things that we're teaching you and showing you is Jacob and Israel. And because Jacob is in darkness, then the only one you had left is Israel. Furthermore, not only they the only ones that can witness what the Almighty saying is true, and this is why he chose them as his witnesses, but watch what the Creator says here in the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter.
Thank you.
Because we're talking about Yah's seven witnesses. And what these witnesses are going to do, they're going to declare to you the truth of the Most High. And you won't see anything contrary to this truth other than what people believe. But it won't be done contrary in the book. Watch what it says in the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, the very first two verses.
Hear ye the word which Yahweh speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith Yahweh, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them.
So the heathen can't tell you about the very signs of heaven, which is the sun, moon, and stars. They can't tell you anything about that because the Almighty said, number one, I don't even want you to learn their ways. That's number one. And number two, the Creator says, they're dismayed at the signs of heaven. The word dismayed means they're in awe. They fear it. They have this uncanny fear about the signs of heaven. And the Almighty said, the only one we should fear is him. We shouldn't fear no sun, moon, and stars. And you won't fear the sun, moon, and stars if you understand what they were made and designed to do. You won't fear it at all. But the Almighty only gave us his statutes and his judgments. He only let us know what the various signs of heaven, the sun, moon, and stars represent and what they mean. So all we can do is trust the Most High. And the way you trust the Most High, you trust his words. That's all we got. And that's all we need. And the only reason we're divided in the manner that we are is because the mass majority of our people don't trust the word of Yah. And if you don't trust his word, you're not going to trust him. And this is what we have to learn. And this is why the Almighty tell us to seek righteousness and to seek meekness, because if we just humble ourselves and just tell the truth and be honest and say we had not trusted the Most High. We just hadn't done it. Especially the leaders. Because if you had trusted the Most High, you would have never, ever trusted your enemies. And we're going to show you how many of our people trust their enemies and not Yah. Furthermore, in the book of Isaiah 43, turn there. They don't know the statutes and judgments. Nor do they know the signs of heaven, which is the sun, moon, and stars. And since they don't know these things, and these are five things you want to know about. You want to know about the sun, moon, and stars. And you want to know the statutes and the judgments of the Most High. They're very vital. They're very important. They're very significant to us. But you can't learn it from no one except the Most High. And since the Almighty said he will do nothing but what he first revealed unto his servants, the prophets, then that's the people you're going to have to learn this from, even though you don't want to. But if you want knowledge and you want the truth and you want the word of Yah, you have to give it. You have to get it in a way and a manner in which he said he would give it. And watch what he says in Isaiah 43. And again, what are we discussing? we're discussing Yah seven witnesses. And the first witness is his servant Noah. But you have to know what a witness is in order for you to understand why these seven are even discussed. In the book of Isaiah 43, starting at the 8th verse, and watch what it says.
Bring forth the blind people that had eyes and the deaf that have ears.
Even though they got eyes and even though they have ears, the Almighty still considered them blind and he still considered them deaf. And you're going to understand why.
Let all nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and shew us former things?
See, that's the thing. Who among them, speaking of these blind people, and speaking of these deaf people, but they have eyes and they have ears, who among them can declare this? In other words, who can tell us these things? And not only declare this, but also show us former things. Tell us about former things and show us former things. Go ahead.
Let them bring forth their witnesses.
And the Almighty said, let them bring forth their witnesses. In other words, if they have something to declare, bring it forth. And if they have something to show, bring that forth also. We'll put it out on the table, and we will determine whether this is something that's worth hearing and worth seeing. Just bring it forth. And let us analyze it. Go ahead.
That they may be justified.
And let us see whether they can be justified in what they believe and what they teach and what they're going around talking about. Let's see if they can be justified.
And let them hear and say it is true.
And then let them hear and say it is true. Let them stand up and declare and show that this is the truth. Bring forth your witnesses. In other words, any man can stand up and say anything, but do he have the witnesses to back up what he believe and teach? Do he have the witnesses to back up what he's saying is true? Do he have the witnesses to back up what he's saying or what he's showing is the truth? Do we have the witnesses? And I'm going to give you seven. Continue reading.
Verse 10. Ye are my witnesses.
The Almighty said, you are my witnesses,
saith Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior.
There is no Savior beside the Most High. There is no Savior other than the Most High. And it's easy for us to witness this thing because that's what Yah said. And we are witnesses of the Most High. We are his witnesses. His servant is his witnesses. The righteous is his witnesses. And if you going to be a witness of the Most High, the only thing you can do is witness what the Creator is saying is true. So if Yahweh said there is no Savior other than him, then why would anyone say otherwise? And as you know, many are saying otherwise, but they only saying it to their own destruction. They are not witnesses of the Most High. They are not servants of the Most High, and they don't believe or trust in the Most High. Because if they did, they would not witness something that they can't show, and they can't, and they would not be witnessing anything that they can't prove that they're declaring. A witness is one to stand up to say, look, what he's saying is true, and this is the evidence that what he's saying is true. This is the evidence of what he's showing is the truth. These are what witnesses is supposed to be. Anything else, anything less, is a false witness. And you know what the Creator said about false witnesses. He said false witnesses should be put to death. And who want to be a false witness? I pray no one. But we have them. So we got to show you and declare to you Yah's witnesses. As I stated before, Noah is this first witness. But you need to know, you need to, let me introduce you to this witness, because oftentimes we read things, but we gloss over it. And I want you to understand who this man Noah was and why he was Yah's first witness in the very thing that we're about to discuss. But one more thing about a witness in the book of Isaiah 44. And watch what it says in the sixth verse.
Isaiah 44. Repeat the verse.
Six.
Verse six. Thus saith Yahweh, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me there is no Elohim.
There's no Elohim beside him, so anybody come to you talking about another Elohim, you already know it's a false witness. Watch what it says.
And who as I shall call, and shall declare it, and set it in order for me? Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show them unto them.
In other words, let them show us the former things as we've been doing. Declare the things that are hidden as we have been doing. If these other deities can do this, then bring forth your witnesses. Go ahead.
Fear ye not.
Fear ye not.
Neither be afraid.
And this is what the Almighty tell his servants all the time. Fear ye not, neither be dismayed. And he already told you the heathen is dismayed at the signs of heaven. So you definitely don't want to follow no one that's dismayed at anything. As a matter of fact, all you got to do is look up the word dismayed. And it's never good. You never want to be dismayed at anything. And watch what it says.
Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Yet ye are even my witnesses.
I'm you my witnesses. I've declared it, and I let you know from that time, you are my witnesses. And how do we know that? For we're the only people he gave his word to. We're the only people. So amongst the servants and the people of the Most High, which is called the house of Israel or the congregation of Israel. It's the only church. It's the only synagogue. It's the only meeting. It's the only house that is in the scriptures, period. Because you only have one. And watch what it says.
Is there an Elohim beside me?
Is there any Elohim beside me?
Yea, there is no Elohim.
There is no Elohim beside me.
I know not any.
God said, I know not any other Elohim, period. So how can you know something that the Most High don't know? He don't even know another Elohim. So how can you? And how can you witness something that Yah never said, Yah don't know, and Yah never even declared? And let's see the things that Yah has declared that you should be witnessing to versus the things that you cannot show any witnesses of, the various beliefs, the various doctrines, and the various ideologies that our people have inherited from our enemies. So go to the book of Genesis, Genesis the 5th chapter. As I stated before, Noah is Yah's first witness. And you're going to see why. Because you might ask yourself, well, why not Seth? And why not Adam? And why not Eve? And why not so-and-so and so-and-so? Why Noah? Why not Enoch, who was seen righteous and Almighty took him up to heaven? Well, you're going to see why Noah. In the book of Genesis, the 5th chapter, show you why Noah was even thought of, born. And I may add, the scriptures say to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born. And he was born for a purpose. And that purpose came at a certain time. And you're about to see what this purpose was all about and what this time was all about. Watch what it says in Genesis, the 5th chapter. Start reading at the 28th verse.
And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, this saying shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which Yahweh hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech was 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
And all these things are going to be explained. But as you can see, Noah had a purpose. And what was his purpose? Even his own father said, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which Yah have cursed. But you see people teaching for years, all the way up until this very day, that Eve was cursed. And she was cursed, and as a result of her curse, now we women having pain and childbirth, and sorrows is being multiplied because she was cursed. And Adam was cursed. That's why we die today, because he was cursed. And the Creator said none of this. Matter of fact, let me show you what the Creator did say in the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, because then you're going to understand why Noah is this first witness. In the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and watch what it says about Adam and Eve, and start reading at the 14th verse. Start at the 13th verse.
And Yahweh Elohim said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this,
thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
Yeah, so in other words, he said to the serpent, curse above all cattle, above beasts of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So somebody said, man, this little slivery thing cursed. A lot of people say, well, this wasn't a serpent. This was an alligator. I done heard all kind of stories of what this was. But it seemed pretty simple to me that this is nothing but a serpent that everybody afraid of today and hate today. I found you know little very few people who love this little slivery thing. But nevertheless, watch what it said about the woman.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
And that's what's happening today. I don't see nobody bruising the head of a crocodile or alligator, and the alligator bruising their heel. No, an alligator get hold to your tail, you going down, your whole body. He don't care if it's your head, your arm, your back, your leg. But a serpent, they strike one place, and that's the heel. So it makes sense to me. And watch this, but the woman, 16th verse.
And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception.
He said unto the woman, I will curse you. And now you're going to have pain. No, he just going to multiply her sorrow and her conception. And her conception. In other words, she was already conceiving, and she already had sorrow. It just was multiplied. Go ahead.
In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children.
Yes.
And thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
People will tell you that's a curse too. That the fact that the man ruling over his wife is a curse. But it's not the truth. And watch what it says in the 17th verse.
And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake.
No, did it say curse the ground or curse him?
The ground for thy sake.
All the Almighty did was curse the ground for his sake. He didn't curse him. And you're going to see why. Go ahead.
In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all thy days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field.
A lot of people blame Adam for us dying. The Almighty never even promised Adam everlasting life. He never promised that to Adam. We get a whole lot of stuff because we get this stuff from our enemies. Adam was never promised this. Now, he had an opportunity to live forever. All he had to do is eat from the tree of the tree of life. And he didn't do it probably because it didn't look good enough to eat from. So he probably just skipped past that and went straight to the beautiful tree as his wife did. And she was tricked to eat from it. And as a result of that, she got more pain and more sorrow. And as a result of what Adam did, now we got to work harder for what we want. Continue reading.
Verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art. And unto dust shalt thou return.
Yeah, because that's what was going to happen anyway if we didn't eat from the tree of life, if we didn't sin. That's what was going to happen. But as soon as man sinned, the Almighty said, oh, protect that tree, guard that tree down, because then he'll eat from that and live forever. But the only reason we read that is because of Noah. Because Noah was the one, since the ground was cursed, Noah was the one, his existence and what Yah had chose to do Look why the Almighty chose to change the outlook of what happened in the beginning in the book of Genesis, the 8th chapter. Because this is why he is our first witness, or Yah's first witness. In the book of Genesis, the 8th chapter, at the 21st verse, or start at 20.
And Noah builded an altar unto Yahweh, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And Yahweh smelled a sweet savor. And Yahweh said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake.
Notice it didn't say, I'm not going to curse man no more. I'm not going to curse Adam no more. I'm not going to curse Eve no more. I'm not going to curse their descendants no more. No, he didn't do that anyway. He said he's not going to curse the ground for man's sake. And why? Go ahead.
For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done.
And why? Because when he smelled the sweet Savior that Noah had sacrificed and burnt to him, this is what the Creator said in his heart. And continue reading. You're going to understand why this is taking place. Go ahead.
While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.
Shall not cease. In other words, the Almighty is always looking for somebody to stand in a gap. He always looking for that upright, perfect one. And of course, if the Almighty can't find that, and oftentimes he cannot, he will provide it himself. That's why the Almighty said, my own arm saved me, saved. Because Yah will provide you what you need. And he gave us this Noah. And this Noah that he gave us, look what he said about him in the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter. Because in order for you to be Yah's witness, Yah have to see certain things in you to be his witness. He's not allowing just anyone to be his witness. And watch what he say in the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, concerning this man called Noah, the 8th through the 10th verse.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yah.
That's the first thing the Almighty said about Noah. This man found grace in the eyes of Yah.
These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man.
He was a just man.
And perfect.
He was perfect.
In his generations. And Noah walked with Elohim.
And he walked with Elohim. And you see this? He found grace in his eyes, one. He was a just man, two. He was perfect in his generations, three. And he walked with Elohim, four. At this moment, at this time, if you understand what four means, you would understand now it's time to praise Yah. And this is what this man represented, but he actually represented more. And I'm going to show you the fifth thing that he represented. And you'll read it in Genesis, the 7th chapter. Turn there. The very first verse.
And Yahweh said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for in thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation.
And that's the fifth thing, because he seen righteous in this man before him. He found grace in his eyes. He was perfect. He walked with Elohim. He was just. What else can you say about this man? Now I can understand why Yah would use him as his witness. And this man was very influential, and I'm going to show you exactly what he witnessed that a lot of people will ignore. But let me show you the type of influence that he had because he found grace in the eyes of Almighty, because he was just, he was perfect, he walked with Elohim, and he was righteous. Five things that was laid upon this man because Yah knew that he will influence what would take place in earth. And let me show you his influence in the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter. In the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter, and what are we talking about? We're talking about Yah's seven witnesses. And today we're bringing out his first witness, the very first witness of Yah. And you're going to see why he's the very first witness and what he was a witness of. Watch what it says in Genesis, the 9th chapter. I want you to start reading
the 24th verse. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him.
In other words, when Noah, it talked about him when he got off the, got out the ark and planted a vineyard. And he was a husbandman, which means he was, did a lot of farming. He drank of the wine and was drunken. It didn't say he was purposely trying to get drunk or anything, but he was drunken after drinking from the vine. Anybody can do that. Drink a little bit too much, and next thing you know. But he didn't drink and go drunk driving. He didn't drink and go kill and murder somebody and go rob somebody. He didn't drink and go beat up his wife. He became drunken and fell asleep. This is what his crime was. Now, a lot of people who do get drunken and do all the things that I'm talking about doing, they justify drinking. I know I got drunk. No, this is not. You can't use Noah to justify your folly. He was drunken and he fell asleep. But watch what happens in the 25th verse.
And he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be Yahweh Elohim of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Elohim shall enlarge Japhet, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years.
Noah lived 350 years after the flood.
And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died.
950 years he lived, but he lived 350 years after the flood. So in other words, unlike Adam, Noah was a just man. He found grace in the eyes of the Most High. He walked with Elohim. He was perfect. And he was righteous. And this who the Most High led the rebirth, the regeneration of the whole entire earth through this man named Noah. who had all these glorious attributes that the Most High loved. And if you know anything about 350 years is 7 complete Sabbaths of years. Well, it's more than 7. It's actually 7 complete jubilees. 7 complete jubilees that this man influenced the earth. And we know 7 is complete. That's what 7 means. It's ended. So he did his work in a complete fashion. If you don't know what a Sabbath of years is, and you don't understand what I'm telling you, go to the book of Leviticus 25 so you can see how complete he was. Leviticus 25. He didn't just live 7 Sabbaths of years. He lived 7 jubilees where he influenced so much. Leviticus, the 25th chapter. This is what it says, starting at the 8th verse.
And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years.
Yeah, because 7 times 7 is 49. So 7 Sabbaths a year. So 7 years is 1 Sabbath. That's 1 Sabbath a year. Then you go to the second one. That's 2 Sabbaths a year. Then you go to the next one. That's 3 Sabbaths a year. Then you go to the next one. That's 4. Then 5. Then 6. Then 7. And now you got 1 complete Sabbath a year. 1 jubilee. And Noah lived 7 of them. Continue reading.
Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year.
You shall hallow the 50th year. As I stated before, some of our people only have 1 Jubilee that they able to even see. And then some, if you're real strong, you might see 1 jubilee plus a few years later. But to see 2 jubilees, to see 3 jubilees, to see 4 jubilees, 5 jubilees, 7 jubilees, yeah, you have to be very, very blessed. Continue reading.
And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you.
Yeah, and I just want you to see the influence he had. And just a couple more things about him so I can get right to what he was a witness for. Because I got to show you his prominence first so you can believe that what he was telling you and what he was a witness for is the truth. In the book of Isaiah 54, show you how much Yah love, not only love you, but how much he loved Noah. Because Noah was a sign of how much the Almighty would love you. And you'll read this in the book of Isaiah 54. Because again, we're talking about Yah's 7 witnesses. And this is the very first one. And you're going to see what he first witnessed through his mouth, through his writings, through his life. He was the very first one. In the book of Isaiah 54, at the ninth verse. Oh, let's start at the read the seventh verse.
For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies shall I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith Yahweh, thy Redeemer.
That's what the Creator is saying. He's admitting the fact that he turned his back because we turned our back. But he let us know if we with him, he will be with us. But if we forsake him, he will forsake us. And watch what it says.
For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee.
In other words, see, the love of the Most High Almighty said, this is as the waters of Noah. There's going to come a time where the Almighty said, look, he loves us so much that he's going to make the crooked things straight. Not because we finally got it right. Not because we became righteous and upright, and because now we start glorifying him and believing in him. No, he's going to make the crooked things straight in spite of us for his holy name's sake. And watch what he says.
For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith Yah, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed in tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with thy fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of Yah. And great shall be the peace of thy children.
In other words, in righteousness shalt thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near to thee. So the Almighty is letting us know he's going to redeem us, he's going to save us, and he's going to love us like we never even seen or known love. This is what he will do. And Noah is the sign of that. Look what he did with Noah and his family. Out of all the people on the earth, this who he chose, this who he elected, this who he desired to continue on as his representative on earth in the rebirth of it. Furthermore, this is what he said about this great man in Ezekiel 14. In the book of Ezekiel 14, the Almighty, this whole chapter is about the idolatrous ways of the house of Israel and how we have just grievously sinned against the Most High. And when you serve an idol, it is grievous. But the Creator said this about Noah in the 14th verse.
Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but only their own souls by their righteousness, saith Yahweh Elohim.
In other words, if the Almighty bring any type of destruction on the earth and on the land, the 16th verse says this.
Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate.
In other words, no matter what type of the Almighty cursed the earth and the land with, in the 18th verse, he says what?
Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith Yahweh Elohim,
They shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they shall only be delivered themselves.
And then Almighty can send pestilence. He can cut off man and beast. But in the 20th verse, it says what?
Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they shall deliver their own souls for their righteousness.
Yeah, because every man will die for his own sin, and every man will live by his own righteousness. And this is how perfect and righteous and upright these men were. And Noah was mentioned first. But the Almighty will have a remnant. And the Almighty is always looking at the righteous. Even though our righteousness is as a filthy rag, the Almighty is always looking to the righteous. And this is what he says in the 22nd verse.
Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their ways.
He's going to see their ways.
And their doings.
And their doings.
And ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it.
See, and that's what Noah was. He was a comforter. And now, instead of just Noah being a comforter in the earth, the Almighty said he's going to have a remnant that will come forth, and they will comfort you concerning all the evil that he brought upon Jerusalem. 23rd verse.
And they shall comfort you.
And they shall comfort you. Just like when Noah was born, he brought comfort back to the earth. Go ahead.
When you see their ways and their doing.
In other words, just by looking at them, you're going to be comforted.
And ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith Yahweh Elohim.
And that's what the Almighty would do as a result of his servant Noah. Now, why showing you all the accolades of Noah, still, why are we saying he is Yah's first witness? Well, let me show you the very thing that he witnessed before anyone. And you'll read about it in the book of Genesis, the 7th chapter. And he was born, and he was designed, and he was made for this very thing that we're about to read. And watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the 7th chapter, starting at the 11th verse.
In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all of the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open.
And the windows of heaven were open. Before you read this in the 7th chapter, the 11th verse of the 7th chapter of Genesis, you had never read a date before this time. Never. You never read where the scriptures would tell you the second month, the 17th day of the month, or any date before this time. And why? Because the time that Noah was born, he was born to bring about what you're seeing now. Yes, they knew time. They knew dates. They knew years. They knew all this from the beginning of time. But the one that the Almighty would use as his witness to declare to you what he wanted you to know was Noah. And look what Noah here to declare to you. Read that again.
In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all cattle after their kind, and creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort.
Every bird of every sort. And I told you yesterday, 40 represents the order of five. And we see here, during the time of Noah, it rained 40 days and 40 nights, which is the order of five. And I may add, the 600 year of Noah's life is also the order of five. And you're going to see why. But I tell you now, it is because the flood waters increased so mightily, it destroyed everything that had the breath of life in them that was upon the land and that was in the midst of heaven, the fowls. It destroyed everything. Continue reading.
And they went unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life.
Wherein is the breath of life. Go ahead.
And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as Elohim commanded him. And Yahweh shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased.
The waters increased.
And bore up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth.
And it was lifted up above the earth. That's how high it got. And I want you to remember, when this all started, it was the second month. It didn't tell you the year, although we know what it was, and we're going to bring that to you. But right now, let's just deal with what it said. And it said it was the second month, the 17th day of the month. Which let you know they kept records. They kept time. Watch what it says. 18th verse.
And the waters prevailed and were increasing greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high above all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. And the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle, and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth in 150 days.
In other words, before the whole thing was over, it already let you know, because Yah always declare the ending before the beginning. So it's really letting you know the ending right now, that the waters prevailed 150 days, and you don't know the ending yet. It's going to let you know the ending, but you don't know it yet. It's still letting you know it prevailed 150 days, and to show you the 150 days that prevail, you're going to see that what Yah said is true. In the 8th chapter, the 1st verse,
and Elohim remembered Noah.
He remembered Noah. Because you got to understand, this was 150 days that Noah was there with the flood water just bang, bang, just the waters were prevailing over everything.
And every living thing and all cattle that was upon was with him in the ark. And Elohim made a wind to pass over the earth. And the waters assuaged. The fountains are also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated.
In other words, after the 150 days, now the water began to decrease because the waters was restrained. They were stopped. And now the water began to decrease. And Yah gave a date for when that happened. The fourth verse.
And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat.
And if you know how to do math and read the scriptures, you got to know how to do math. And it's not hard to do it. That from the second month, the 17th day of the month, to the seventh month, to the 17th day of the month, is 150 days. And since we're dealing with months, the second month, how many months is it? So you got the second month, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. You got 5 months. And anytime you have 5 months, you're going to have 150 days. Period. How do I know that? Because we just seen it. In what order did we say the 40 was? 5. And what order is the 600 years? 5. And what order is the 150 days? Well, 5 is 5 months. Now, this is the thing. How do you count your months? Well, if it was 5 months and it was 150 days, that only can mean one thing and one thing only, that each month had 30 days in it. See, we wouldn't even know that if it wasn't for Noah. Did not I say he was Yah's first witness? This is the only reason we know, or this is the first reason how we know. That is 30 days in a month. Because Noah was a witness to the fact that it's 30 days in a month. Without us going outside, without us getting on the rooftop, without us going to the internet, Noah had already told us. He already declared it. He already showed it. That is 30 days in a month. Whether you count from the 17th of that month, or the 1st of that month, or the 20th of that month, is 30 days in a month. And this is what you're going to find. That's what a month means. A month don't mean moon, like your enemies have led you to believe. All a month means, all the month is a collection of days. And that collection of days is 30. And there's nothing in this book, nothing at all, that will contradict what Noah had witnessed during his life. But continue reading.
And it came to pass at the end of the 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark. I'm sorry, fifth verse. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountain seen.
And you see, we already noticed the second month was mentioned. The seventh month was mentioned. And then the third month that was mentioned is the 10th month. Continue reading.
And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he set forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth.
Then he put forth his hand and took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up off the earth.
So you see here, once again, another date. And you first seen this during the time of Noah's life, which was given. He already mentioned the second month, the 17th day of the month, in the 600th year of Noah. Then he mentioned, which I might add, the second represents Yah's name. No wonder that was the first month mentioned. Then the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, which means rest. No wonder it rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month. No wonder the ark rested. Then the next month that was mentioned is the 10th month, where the waters decrease continually until the 10th month. And then this 10th month, on the first day of that month, where the tops of mountains seem, because the 10th represents holiness. It represents, it means it belongs to Yah. And the very first thing he seen were the mountains. Where do you think Moses was seen at? When Moses went to go see the Most High, he seen this burning bush on the mountain. When the children of Israel went to meet the Most High, where did they go? To the mountain. And anybody that was somebody who went to go meet the Most High, to the mountain. Almighty told Moses, because this is holy ground, when he got to the mountain. The Almighty put bands around the mountain and told the people, don't even touch it. Clean yourself up. Why? Because it was holy. And what do you think the 10th is? It's holy. And what do you think they seen first? The mountains. Now here we are. The very next date that was mentioned, I may add, is the fourth date that's mentioned in the 13th verse. Read that again.
And it came to pass that in the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering off the ark. Behold, the face of the ground was dry.
It was dry. In other words, now we at the beginning of another year. Now we at the 601st year. And in the fourth month that was mentioned out of during the time of Noah was the very first month, the first day of the month, in the 601st year of Noah. And the last month that was mentioned in the 14th verse.
And in the second month.
And in the second month.
On the 7th and 20th day of the month was the earth dry.
Was the earth dry, the 27th day of this second month. Now this all started in the 600th year of Noah in the second month, the 17th day. And if you understand how the years work, then the second month of the 601st year, the 17th day, will be one complete year. That will be 12 months. And here it is. We had the second month, the 27th day of the month. In other words, the Almighty, when Noah came off this ark and the earth was dried, one complete year, 12 months and 10 days. And what I tell you about 10, what did I say 10 represent? Because 10 plus 17 is 27. And this was Noah's life. And what did Noah represent? And I may add, 12 also is the order of five. And all you will see through that from 1 year to the next is five different dates mentioned. Because five represents Yah's increase. And all you got out of that whole time is 30 days in a month. That's it. You won't get nothing less, nor will you get anything more. And why? Because Noah found grace in the eyes of Yah. Noah was just. He was perfect. He walked with Elohim, and he was righteous. And this righteous servant let us know first and foremost before anyone else and put it down on record that is 30 days in a month. Couple, one more thing I want to show you so you can understand this great witness that Yah gave us. See, we can go to Noah and say it's 30 days in a month, but who can you go to? Who can you call upon? Where is your witness that you might be justified in the things that you believe and teach? In the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter, this is what it says in the 10th verse.
These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old.
Shem was 100 years old.
And begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood.
In other words, 2 years after the flood, which we know the flood happened in the 600th year of Noah. 2 years after that flood was 602. And Shem began, and Shem turned 100 years old. Which would mean that if he turned 100 years old in the year 602, then that could only mean that he was born in the year of 502. And did not the Creator let us know, did not the scriptures let us know, going back to Genesis, the 5th chapter, did not the scriptures say in the 32nd verse, read that?
And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Shem, Ham, and Japheth in the 500th year of Noah. So he obviously had Shem at 502. And since Japheth is the eldest brother, he must have had him in the 500th year of Noah. And since Ham was the second oldest, he must have had him in the 501st year of Noah. And of course, we can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he had Shem in the 502nd year, because he turned 100 years old in the 602nd year, 2 years after the flood. This is why this man, this servant, this righteous servant of Yah, is Yah. First of the seven witnesses that we will bring to you to let you know that we're telling you the truth. That is 30 days in a month. Until tomorrow, y'all love you, and so do I.
Shalom.
Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on. Thought it was Yahweh. He took me from the dark, put him in my heart. So Yahweh, got my mind Yahweh. Show me the sign.